And we're back. If you missed last week's episode of our weekly tech news, you are missing out because we got some cool stuff coming. And I mean, some really, really cool stuff coming. Some great conversations. We did talk about some. So it was our weekly tech news, our general home tech post CES part two or part one. This one is our part two. Is this the new router, the best router, the best no buffering? I don't know, but we're gonna. Next Level was really excited to share this with us last week, and I was like, nope, everybody got to come back to see this. So before we really get into this one, we're going to let you guys wait for a few more seconds. Make sure you guys do check the description below. We got Buzz TV. I don't say it as good as you do. You got to say it.
Buzz TV.
There you go.
I need to check out Buzz TV. It's in the description below. BuzzTVGlobal.com has a lot of good products to check out. Some pretty good sales. I think actually I was looking, their regular prices from some of their items is actually gone down, I think, by like $10 on some of them. So make sure you check them out. There are coupon codes to be found somewhere, I think.
Yep. They're there. They're out there. You got to look. And then the VPN, of course, make sure you guys do protect yourself. If you don't have a VPN in this day and age, I don't know what you're doing. That's like saying I don't have cryptocurrencies. Why not? Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? The best router. The best. I don't know if this is the best or if this is what's coming to the start of the best.
This is just the future of routers. But look at that. That's freaking cool. So TP-Link is, I don't know, I've been using their product for a very long time. I'm really happy with using TP-Link products. But look at how it's angling its antennas for this router.
That's nuts.
That is crazy.
So does it look wherever you're connected and it moves one of those antennas or
so let's see, it says that take advantage of the Wi-Fi 6E standard. TP-Link revealed an unorthodox new way to squeeze better performance out of the single access point with its new Archer 8XE200 Omni. The 6E compatible wireless router not only includes four external adjustable antennas to help direct signals to specific parts of a home where they're needed the most. So I guess if you are having, because in the last episode we talked about some of the smart home tech having signal issues. So I guess you could point this all at your smart home tech. And it makes those adjustments all by itself with motorized mechanisms that independently control the angle and orientation of each antenna. With internet connections, connected mobile devices like smartphone, tablets, laptops, and gaming devices often moving around a space, the Archer AXE200 Omni keeps track of where in a home the strongest signals are needed the most and continually adjusts the positions of its four antennas to ensure an optimal connection. That was a lot of information, but I think that was great how it works.
You almost need to set this up like in the center of the house.
Yeah, and then it would kind of like scan your house to see what devices are on your network and which devices need the best connections.
And so this would have, this is looking at the direction of where it's coming from. So if the signal is across the room, then this thing will be like, okay, it's coming from this direction. And I got to point an antenna that direction because it feels like it's a weak connection. It's kind of it's interesting to see
where things are going for sure.
That's it's I don't know how good they're gonna be. I don't know. I do like TP-Link's products for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I of course I got questions. What's the range? It sounds like if it has six, it has 2.4 and it has five. probably has ports to hardwire. It definitely is going to need space. And that's the other thing. How much space do you need it? Because most of us like to put it behind a TV or behind some area where it's
most of us like to put our routers in the worst possible places.
Right.
You know how many times I'll go into somebody's house to like help them troubleshoot with something and their router is in a cupboard. And I'm like,
right.
Or in like, they'll put it in this, like a drop ceiling inside the drop ceiling.
So I have mine. So mine's in between the wall and the TV. It's right in the middle. And, there's empty space. I have it right at the edge of the of where the TV's at, so that way it shoots out the signal. I haven't had much issues yet, but still interesting. Interesting. So I know we talked about this before, but I want to bring it up again. I think this is, again, I get super stoked, and I think a lot of people are like, yes, finally. PlayStation VR 2 specs and official name revealed.
Right, right, right.
I like, if these are the remotes, I like it. It looks like you put your hands in and it kind of covers the back part a little bit. And then you just,
you know. I don't know. But if they don't call those fisty cuffs, then they're missing out an opportunity.
Fisty cuffs? Oh, man. So it looks like it's confirmed. The headset, also referred to as PSVR 2, will debut alongside the company's new PlayStation VR 2 sensor controllers, which is clearly inspired by the likes of the Oculus Touch. So I'm stoked on it. I wish they had a video. I wish they had the stuff there, like on actual gameplay, but they had some teaser trailers. Oh, here we go. They had a teaser. Here's the teaser trailer. PS5 versus PS5 Additional Edition. And of course, they're talking about like all the new stuff that they're doing. Users can expect PSVR 2 to boast OLED displays with a resolution of 2000 by 2040. So what is that? That's 4K, isn't it? 2040 is typically 4K. It's 32 something by whatever. And this guy's just talking. And then there you go. Here's some gameplay on that. So I'm not going to play too much of it. But there's already controllers that are the PSVR that's already working on these types of games. So it's going to be compatible 90 hertz and 120 hertz refresh rates with 110 degree field of view. That's a pretty good. What is the normal human field of view? We're not 180.
No, hell no. Hell no. It's probably close to like,
is it 120 or 110?
Probably somewhere around there, I would think. I would think that there's a good 30 degrees on each side that we don't see unless we're like turning our heads.
Yeah. The only thing, and see, this is the part that always gets me. Sony has yet to offer price or release date. They're, you know what they're doing? They're teasing us a little. You know, it'd be really cool if they show up to E3 with, and I quote, prototype, because it won't be a prototype at that point anymore. And then they announce it.
Well, E3, Sony usually has their own event, right?
It's been now 3 or 4 years that they've been doing their own event.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely
excited.
Yeah. I'm excited for sure.
Excited. So you know the new monitor that I just got?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Samsung wants to come out with another one, right?
Another one.
So another one. But this one, I don't know. It's like they're just getting crazier and crazier at this point. Look at that curvature. So this looks like the same. This is actually the exact same curvature, which is the 1000R curve, but it's going the opposite direction. Because the other curve, it goes I want to say landscape. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. This one looks like it goes horizontal, and it's a 55-inch Odyssey arc. So it says that the arc can wrap around you to create a sort of digital cocoon with a pivot option and height adjustable to transform the arc into a huge vertical display. There's also a handy wireless control dial for adjusting settings, which works. Actually, that's really cool. I like that. A wireless control, when the monitors are getting so big, like, where do you got to reach to find this control? Having it wireless, I like that. So which works with Samsung's multi-view feature, so you can cram multiple games or other windows onto the monitor at specific resolutions. Whoa. What?
That's interesting. Even the dog freaked out.
Right? That's what I'm saying. You can cram multiple games or other windows onto the monitor at specific. So this monitor can handle different resolutions inside itself? Interesting.
It'd be like, is it talking about like a split screen? And you could be like this. I want this one to be full resolution. I want this one to be at a lower resolution.
I guess that's what it sounds like.
That's what I'm picking up. The dog's calling BS.
Right? You know, they're coming out with smart monitors too, which is going to be interesting. Like the ability to, run stuff directly into a monitor without having to connect it to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what all this stuff is going, but that looks pretty cool.
That does look pretty cool. Smart dog collars are starting to become more of a thing now. The smartest dog collar is one of the coolest things we've seen yet from CES 2002. We did have the privilege a year ago to talk to one of the guys over at Suni, I think his name was.
I think so.
From Spot On. It was one of the coolest things that I've seen that has the GPS. You could track it on your phone. I was able to mess with it last year and take it around. And you know, we've people that have said, dude, this thing's awesome. We've had people say that it's expensive. My argument when it comes to people say that it's expensive, it's like, dude, it's your dog. You know, are you going to put a value to that? Like, if your dog needs a surgery, are you going to be like, oh, I guess I got to put him down. You know what I mean? It's like,
not willingly. Some people have to make those decisions, but
some people have to make the hard decisions. And I agree. I do believe if you take on that responsibility of, you know, it's not like having a child. It's not like having a baby. It is having a child. It is having a baby. You take that extra responsibility to say, I'm going to take care of you because I have to protect you. As much as you're going to protect me, I got to protect you too. And I'm actually really excited, you know, to see all this tech coming out. Stay tuned actually to the next episode, because I believe we're going to have a special guest that is about pets, and it's a really cool thing. So that's going to be the next episode after this one. But I dig this thing. And it's funny because I actually had somebody that just reached out from CES saying like, hey, could we send you a smart dog collar? And I'm like, of course. I'm like, send it to me. My puppy is now a big girl. So she's open to be on camera. She ain't shy. So this is called Envoxia's smart dog collar, which debuted
this year.
Debuted. Like,
what did you just say?
It came out not that long ago. There you go. I feel like Porky Pig, where he can't say, like, he's like, he's all like, hello, salutations.
Just change the word completely.
Just change the word. So this is able to track respiratory and heart rates. It's essentially an Apple Watch
for your dog.
For your dog. That's and cool. It's going to be available for purchase sometime this summer, around $99.
This is the craziest part is we are advancing technologies to communicate with our animals so much, and human beings have such difficulty communicating with each other still.
This is awesome. I think this is super cool. Where I know Spot On came up with the, well, I don't know if they came up with the idea, but I know their dog collar has that GPS, and there's been a lot of positive hype on this thing. Like the hype is real. Like what their collar is amazing. Mm-hmm. So now other people are following suit too. They do have a GPS on this also. It's a $12.99 a month subscription, or £10 or $18. It's required to access the collar's GPS features. So it probably has like extra GPS features. I wonder if the basic features are included. So it looks like they've partnered up with some cardiologists to develop the deep learning AI for its smart dog collar. So it looks like good stuff. You know, I dig it. I think it's cool. I think this is something that I would definitely want. You know, it's health for your animal. It's whatever we can do for us to monitor our like you know, you were testing your watch with your sleep patterns, and you're just like, you're aware, I need sleep.
I mean, let's be real. I knew I needed sleep before I got the watch.
Yeah, but now you're fully like, oh crap, like this is
now it's tracking it where I can put it into an Excel document and slap myself in the face with it.
Yeah, so interesting stuff. Interesting.
Yo, we got two big companies. I think it's pronounced Kohler. They're big in the washroom area, right?
Yeah.
And sink area, kitchen area, whatever you want to call it. They're partnering up with Harman Kardon to give you the Moxie Showerhead Wireless Speaker. So you're getting a nice speaker system that's completely removable and obviously waterproof. Easily gear up to wind down the perfect soundtrack, your favorite podcast. Both versions of the Moxie are enabled with Bluetooth technology, allowing the speaker to quickly and easily pair with your phone or mobile device. And Juanita-enabled versions gives you the ability to control Moxie with your voice, plus the speaker easily removed so you can bring it wherever you want to go.
How do you charge this thing, though?
That's what I was just trying to figure out. So it's got
If it's a removable, I'll let you like just read through like, or like see, it's 6 hour battery life ensures you'll run out of hot water before the hot tunes. See, the thing with me that I don't like about this already is if I have a shower head and it's like a magnetic dock that you just put it in, I don't want to worry about taking part of my shower head off.
It wouldn't remove the function of being able to shower, though.
Right, but I still don't want to mess with the shower head either. You know how sometimes you have like the right perfect angle? You don't want to move? Dude, okay, I have a shower head right above. I have a big one that's like right above my head. I have another one that's right in front of me, and I have one that's on the side of me. I have three heads. And when that thing hits me, it's like, dude, it's like, it's perfect. I'm just there like, oh, like I'm just gonna stand here for a minute. You know, so I don't know, when it's a magnetic thing like that, chances are you're gonna move the head off, you know.
I don't think so.
Well, not the head, not the whole head, but you're taking part of it off, and I think it's gonna somewhat move a little bit. Whatever, first world problems.
I think you're spoiled.
I am. But see, here's the thing. I also have an Echo Dot inside my bathroom that's plugged into the wall that I don't need to worry about battery. This sounds like I have to take it off and then I have to go charge it and then I got to put it back on.
I don't know what to tell you, but I like listening to podcasts while I shower or when I'm in the washroom. And I think that it's a nice little speaker to have.
What do you use?
My phone.
You should get an Echo Dot.
Is it waterproof?
Are you going to put it inside the bathroom with you, like in the shower?
You know those little mesh things that you put your soap sponge in with the two suction cups in the back?
Mm-hmm.
I have that in my shower, and I just put my phone in it when I'm taking a shower.
Get a banana boat then.
What the hell is a banana? Is that a racist comment?
No. Yeah, you Pirate of the Caribbean.
Get in your banana boat.
Get in your banana boat. Go back. It's no banana boat is that lotion.
That's sunscreen.
Sunscreen. They came up with the speaker, a portable speaker that you could put in the water. You could take it to the beach, to the pool, to whatever. They have a portable speaker and it's a good size, and you could put suction cups on it and mount it on your bathtub. I got one. So if I do go somewhere, I just take that thing with me. If I'm like, well, I know I'm going to be next to the beach, the water, whatever, I just take that with me. So I don't know. I like the idea. I just wish they would come up with something like, actually, you know what would be pretty cool if they could figure out? If the water can run through maybe inside the side of the speakers and you know those, you know what I'm talking about? Remember those little light lamps or whatever the hell they're called? They're lamps, lights. Now I sound like Porky Pig again. The lamps, and you crank them and then they turn on. You know, you crank them and then they turn on, and mm-hmm. It'll be cool if they could figure out something where the water goes through it and is cranking something to generate power and to sustain a charge. Then you could just leave it there forever.
You know what they need to come out with is a shower curtain that can produce electricity and power a speaker that's attached to it.
Look at the Sony, or is it Sony or Samsung, the remote by wireless radio frequencies? Dude.
Yeah.
That technology is here now. It's not a matter of when, it's here now. Speaking of this, GoPro for cyclists combines a smart tail light with laser projected bike lanes. Did we talk about this one?
I feel like maybe.
I think we saw this one. We're just like, what in the world is this? So this is one of the hot things that apparently it's one of the hottest, not the hottest things, but when it comes to like GoPros and some of the cameras and stuff, this is like a very hot topic. Apparently, I think we did talk about this thing, but we were just kind of like, what the hell? It actually ended up being pretty big at CES. So cyclists often use GoPros or DJIs on their helmets, dash cams, whatever. This company called Ape Man, and I'm saying that right, Ape Man, like monkey. The new camera takes safety to another level with a system that includes several useful features, including an electronic rear view mirror. At the heart of the Ape Man Seeker R1 system is a 4K action camera called the Seeker 1. You mount below your saddle to face backwards. So this is right underneath your butt on your seat. This sits inside the Seeker smart taillight, which turns on automatic when it gets dark, and has a 50 lumen rapid flashing mode alongside a 35 lumen mode to conserve battery. So I guess it's kind of cool. Look at that. They also have this thing where it projects two lights across your bike. Kind of like, hey, this is my lane.
That's technically a portion of my lane, so you need to move.
My lane. Share the road. No. I think it's kind of cool. I hope this is not exclusive to GoPro. Ape Man sounds like it's a third party, whatever it is, cases or whatever. So I hope they have something for DJI.
You're going to need one of those when one of these comes after you.
A John Deere. Actually, I still have, oh, I just ran into my mic. I still have my John Deere hat up there that I got from CES.
So John Deere is coming out with self-driving tractors, and it's coming this year. The 8R tractor has been selected for a customer's hand. Has been in select customers' hands for a few seasons now. A few seasons, that's a long time.
Yeah. I saw it at CES 2 years ago.
That's crazy. It was piloted in 2019, and it's coming, I guess, full-fledged.
It should. I'm actually surprised that this isn't out. Like, this wasn't out earlier. Like, think about it. If like we have self-driving remotes, drones, even water boats, little mini water boats. GPS has been around for a long time. Drones have this thing where you could make a pattern and it could fly in a certain pattern that you want. I'm actually surprised this thing took this long to finally come out.
This is cool.
It's neat.
You know, the outside weather is not always the nicest to work in. And when you have self-driving vehicles like this, it does definitely makes it easier. And dealing with, you know, more and more difficult work conditions can make it difficult to feed society. So this is all good stuff. I'm super excited.
Yeah. I'm stoked. I like it. I know our farmers definitely need
help.
So I think this is super cool. Okay, so check this one out. Sony could take on Tesla with its own EV range with PlayStation on board.
Now you're asking for accidents.
No. You play PlayStation, the car drives on its own.
Oh my God.
The car takes over. So.
Okay. How dangerous do you think it's going to be with all these people rage quitting while they're driving?
I think.
You think we're a level-headed society?
No.
No. I didn't say that.
Oh. Well, how dare you put words in my mouth? But it's kind of, no, I see what I think is what I think is going to happen is they're just going to like the car will have to be smart enough to say, okay, you're taking over the car. And if you start revving up, you're starting to drive faster, the car slows you down. Or if you're starting to drive a little reckless, the car kind of assists you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video on, and we might have talked about this thing too, Lost LeBlanc. And he drove from San Francisco up into Oregon. And he got on a Tesla and they were going to these, I think, I forget what the houses were called, like Nomads or something, but they're smart homes. Everything about it is like smart home. Everything is smart about it. Faucet, water temperature, doors, screens, windows, like everything. And, they were driving down the road. And they kind of like let go of the wheel. And the biggest issue that they had was with big turns, sometimes it would cross the lane and wouldn't correct. So they were like, oh, shoot. They were like bringing it back in. It was kind of like, you know, just with sharp turns only, it was doing that. And sometimes when it was going into the wrong lane and it noticed it, the car would slow down and stop. So it's kind of like, okay, like I think we're not ready for some of this technology, especially if they're going to add PlayStation inside. Maybe the PlayStation goes in the back seat and not the front seats for the driver. But to add on top of that.
But then we'll get situations like there was a news article recently about how Tesla crashed and the person was in the back seat when it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
So then the person's going to be in the back seat, not being able to, you know, fail safe the actual smart tech. And
right. It's not ready for self-driving yet. Like 100%. What it's called? Autonomous? Anonymous? Mm-hmm. SkyDrive Air Taxi lands at CES, but no one is allowed to fly in it. So this has been in the works now for a couple years. I talked to a company 2 years ago from Japan, and I think you and me found an article about something similar to this a year ago, that they were looking into taxis, like air SkyDrive taxis. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is like, look at this. The future of personal air travel is so close, you can almost touch it or sit in it. At CES, they found something that is a taxi. You can, if you like, climb right in. Let's see. With its eight horizontal rotors, the SkyDrive vehicle looks more like a giant drone than a flyer capable of carrying a human. It's small, like cramped. I can imagine somebody who's like a really tall person or a big person. The EV Flyer measures just 4 meters by 4 meters by 2 meters tall. How tall is 2 meters when you're sitting down?
2 meters is pretty tall.
Is it?
I muted myself.
Okay. It says you won't be able to stand in it, but if something's flying, you don't really want to stand. You just want to sit there.
So that's six and a half feet.
Well, that's pretty tall.
Yeah.
I'm 5'8", so if I stand, I'll be able to stand. Yeah. You're 5'8", too, right?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so we should be able to stand. It's only made for one person, just one occupant. But this is almost like a Uber, I guess. It says it could hoist 1,000 pounds into the air.
So after
a vertical flight takeoff, something that makes this and other EV air taxis attractive for more densely populated areas and rescue missions. This is important. Rescue missions is like what I was thinking, like all the fires here in Cali. How cool would that be if a drone just came in? You jump in and the thing takes you out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The SkyDrive model SD03 can fly at a max cruise speed of 24 and 31 miles per hour. So I think this is kind of cool. I don't know when it will be available or not. We'll see.
So self-driving cars, robots that clean your house and that want to mop for you, taxis, and you can take your taxi to your next masseuse appointment.
I don't know if I trust this.
All right, so it says massage that robots
just looks wrong.
It does, yeah. Massage robotics wants you to come and to be touched by a robot, if that's your thing, of course. Massage robotics brought its dual armed massage table to CES 2022, and I don't even know how to describe it. So it's like a massage bed with a robot that's kind of on an arc where it can go back and forth. And it's got two arms that massages your body. And it says that there's an arm on each side of a motorized table. Both can be customized with massage-friendly hands that they call effectors that ultimately looks nothing like hands. In one demonstration, one holds what looks like a pair of rollerblade wheels while the other has sort of a wild, soft squeegee.
Squeegee. Squeegee your oils out.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's funny because they have massage chairs, right? You've seen those.
Yeah.
The massage chairs. Yeah. You sit in on it, you put your arms in, it squeezes your arms, your legs, your shoulders, back. It does the vibrate, it does the heat. What they're doing is instead of you sitting back, oh, and it also puts you at zero gravities where it cradles you all the way back. What they're doing is they're putting you face down, ass up, and here's these hands that are gonna I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that just yet.
You know, it'd be interesting if you could connect it with like a smart assistant and you could say things like more to the left and it would understand you.
Yeah. I don't see that for home. That's more if, but see, that's the other thing too. For home, I would rather just get a massage chair. I don't know if I would go to a spa, a massage place, and they say, here you go, here's the robot. You know what I mean? It better cost like $10 for an hour. You know what I mean? Like massages are normally like anywhere from $40 to $60 an hour. And I know some of the chairs, when you go to like the airports, you'll see the chairs and they're like about like, you know, like a couple bucks for like 5 minutes or something. It feels something like that where it's cheap. All right, cool. I dig that. I'll do it. So I don't know. Okay. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. Now, if you guys are wondering what I'm showing is, it's the Asus ZenBook Z Fold or 17 Fold OLED. These are foldable tablets, foldable laptops. They're foldable screens for your laptop. How do you actually feel about that? About a foldable screen? I know we talked about it and we're kind of like, I don't know about this. How do you like... No.
I said I don't know about the touchscreen aspect when it comes to, you know, right, laptops and monitors, but the foldable part of it I like, because when you start to now let's be real, if you are a gamer and you are fully into things like refresh rates and quality of the actual monitor and what it produces, you're not going to want to go for a foldable monitor anytime soon. But if you're looking for convenience and value, well, I don't know about value, but convenience for sure, because the amount of real estate that's untapped when you get into a foldable monitor or a tablet is something that was unfathomable if we're talking like 30, 40 years ago. Like for me to have a foldable screen in my hand as part of my cell phone and use the size of this screen so conveniently that I can fold it back up and put it in my pocket – It is a game changer, but there are some pros and cons to it, right? Like you have to take the pros with the cons right now, right? Obviously, you're not going to have the best quality when it comes to display, but you're going to get convenience and you're going to be able to maximize your real estate. And I'm down for that.
I kind of have mixed feelings on it. I think the cell phone is cool, because sometimes I do want that slightly bigger screen. I don't want to carry a tablet around. A tablet will be too big. I think with a cell phone like that, it's good where I could multitask easier and I have a little bit of wider of a screen than normal. But like seeing, I don't know, for me, when I see a tablet, a foldable tablet, a tablet screen, excuse me. I don't know. It's almost too much. It's almost like they're trying to imagine your computer screen, like your actual desktop screen, that they're just like, oh yeah, look, you could fold your monitors in half and put it away. I think it's too much. Personally, I'm just like, no, I'm like, I like my little battle station that I have right here.
Yeah, like, that's cool. But like, I'm more and more mobile now. Right. So like, I like to pick up things and carry it with me. So I've been traveling more and more with my laptop, and I think that once we get more into a compact world, it'll be a lot easier to find things like a backpack that fits a 19-inch laptop. You know what I mean?
But think about that. If so, a 19-inch laptop right now, they're out there. They're big. They're out there. I don't like doing that big of a laptop. Just
neither do I. This one's 15 that I'm on right now.
Yeah. 15 is just about like 15.4. Like, is it, that's, it's like a sweet spot. It already folds with your keyboard. It's already a foldable. The only thing that doesn't fold is the keyboard itself and the screen itself. When I think about it, I'm like, okay, do I want this? Essentially, the monitor turns into a tablet with a kickstand. Do I want this thing to fold? And now, yes, it's a little bit more compact. It's going to be a little bit thick. And now I have this keyboard on top of that, that now it's thicker. It's definitely going to be thicker now. Now that I'm taking the screen going like this. So now I have a sandwich. It's thick. Plus the keyboard on top of that. I would rather just have the laptop, a keyboard. Boom. I have two things right here. When you fold when you do the fold on the monitor and then you have the keyboard, now you're going to have some kind of weird off thing. You're going to have this thing that's foldable plus a long ass keyboard. Or if they say, hey, you know what? Let's also fold the keyboard where you could actually snap it in half and then overlay it. Now you're going to have this. You're going to have a really fat sandwich.
I'm okay with it.
I know you're okay with sandwiches. You're like, give me a sandwich.
Ready. So,
I don't know, man. I think they just need to leave it alone. It's good where it's at. And I think if they're going to start presenting us whatever this is, I think the keyboard has to be a, like the only way I think I could maybe jump on board with what you're saying this is cool is if the keyboard doesn't have actual keys. If it's a digital push thing, I have to be able to feel it though. You know what I mean? I got to be able to feel it, like some kind of haptic feedback, like the vibration, you know, just like a cell phone. I got to be able to feel it. Or if the tablet, this laptop where it has your foldable screen, if that has a little projector at the bottom where it shoots and displays a keyboard, and then that way there's no keyboard at all. It's just that little projector, and it just picks up on your finger motions. Okay, I'm down with that, because now what you're doing is you're taking this big old laptop thing, you're taking away this part out of it, and then you're just folding this in half, which, okay, cool. I'm for that. I do have some weird tech here. This is some weird tech. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what the hell CES is doing. I don't. But check it out.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Amagami Ham. Where did they get this name from? I'm guessing they're Japanese, maybe.
I think so.
Okay, we couldn't create a robotics roundup for this year, and this is from I forget where I got this thing from, but this article. So this is an oddball plush looking, I don't know, it looks like a pig. What does that look like to you? Is that a pig? Is that a dog? Is that a cat?
I thought it was a cat-ish.
Man bear pig. So what you do is you put your finger in its mouth and it nibbles on it.
Why?
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because I know where I can take this.
But why?
So, named for the ham chewing noise it makes. Okay, so ham is a chewing noise. This cute artificial critter was inspired by the play biting that pets and babies use to communicate non-verbally. Amagami Ham's creator, Hope, that was like the whitest, most American way that I could say ham. Ham. Wow. The creator hopes that is that its gentle nibbles will relieve stress and create a sense of indescribable comfort. Dude, we haven't had the chance to try this thing, obviously. I don't know if I would say if it's intriguing to try it or not.
This just reminds me of how you used to feed a Furby. Yeah, you just put your finger in their mouth and they're like, yum. Oh my God. I
don't know. The first, okay.
He made a stupid toy. I'm sorry if you're the creator out there, but then you were just like, how do I market it? And you're like, oh, it's stress relief. That's how everything is right now. Stress relief. We're mental stability and all this kind of hocus pocus.
Some kind of stability. Oh my God. That's all I'm going to say before we start. This thing is wrong. I don't care. To the creator of this thing, I don't know what you were doing when you decided to create this, but...
Whatever.
Let's leave it alone. What do you got?
Invisible headphones are here. So it's got like this kind of dock thing that you'd sit in front of you. And it projects the sound to you. So hold on. Let me rewind this video so you can see it a little bit better.
Like a speaker?
What happened? That's not even the video.
No, that's an ad.
So that's what it looks like.
So it's a speaker.
Yeah, but it's invisible headphones.
It's a speaker.
It's invisible headphones, damn it.
It's a speaker.
It's invisible headphones.
Look at our invisible headphones, guys. It's a speaker.
You see it? Look at that.
So nobody around you is supposed to hear it?
Right.
It's a speaker. Whoa. So it looks like some sound waves are going, and that it's supposed to go to your face, and when it hits your face, it's supposed to hit
your ears
and stay there in your ears, but only you can hear it. Only the person that's there can hear it. You can move your head around. It's look at that big ol'. Oh my God. You're going to get us in trouble.
Me? I didn't do nothing.
First, we're talking about freaking Furbies gnawing on your whatever. And now we're talking about old thing that's going in your face and invisible earbuds.
So the goal of this invisible headphone thing is to cure headphone fatigue. So listening to headphones for long periods of time can get something called headphone fatigue, where, you know, it's kind of a lot of pressure on your head. So without having to have headphones tightly clamped to your head or buds that are inserted into your ears, you can have a wireless headphones that are projecting in your general direction to be enjoyed by you.
Okay. I know we talked about this during the live show, but I want to bring it back one more time. I still think this is weird.
Oh, my phone died. What is this? Oh, this shit.
This is supposed to be a light bulb that tracks your health. Now, I know we briefly talked about it and we were kind of like joking about it, saying like, dude, this thing is going to send out a signal to check out your health, your heart rate and stuff. And we were kind of joking about it, saying like, well, what if you're in the bedroom and, you know, things happen in the bedroom. And then,
no, that was you.
You know what? Guilty by association. And it decides, because it's connected to your Juanita, your Alessa, it decides to call the ambulance because you're having a high heart rate than normal. Now that we've actually talked about it initially, how do you feel about this thing?
I think it's good. I think it's good. I think more and more people are confined to their spaces, and it's becoming more and more difficult for us to check in on our loved ones. and having it in a place that takes up zero more room because you're already using a light bulb, right? It's not taking up any additional room, and it's going to make it easier to check in on them, see how they're doing, and monitor statistics that we don't typically monitor on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I know we did talk about how blood pressure and all that stuff, and you know, we're, you know, having a little fun with it, joking about it. So this thing, what it actually does, it sends out a radar signal to monitor your sleep. And it looks like the light bulb is actually kind of close to this person. So I don't know how close you have to be for it to read you.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it does say it monitors your sleep, your heart rate, and body temperature. Which is pretty basic stuff, like for a radar to do.
How does it know it's your body?
Well, it'll probably read like several bodies. If it's your body, the next body, or I could almost assume that if there's an app to it, you could probably say this light bulb is this far from my bed and could pick you up, you know, because I know it like, you know, for my puppy, she loves to jump on the bed in the middle of the night. So I'm pretty sure there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way for this thing to monitor your stuff. And I think this will be really good, especially for our grandparents, our older generation. You know, something to have just in case, because we hear a lot of stories that something happened, they found them there, and we don't know what. You know, could have been a heart attack, could have been blood pressure. I don't know. But you know what? What I like though is, if it's going to monitor your sleep, like to see how you're sleeping and everything, that's cool. Kind of like what your watch is doing. Your body temperature, be kind of cool if it says, if my body temperature is too hot, have the AC kick on or have the heater turn off.
Yeah. Connect it with an IF, what do you call those? IFTTF or whatever. If that, then this, then mm-hmm. whatever. That'd be pretty cool.
That'll be pretty sweet. So I think this is something that's really strange and something that we're not used to, but I think this is actually pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. I remember how we were talking about the whole faucet thing?
Yeah.
When's the last time you took a bath?
I don't usually take baths, so it's been a minute. Actually, when I broke my hand.
So there's a faucet for the sink that you could do a fill, and it also, you could do your temperatures and all that stuff by waving left, right, or down. It's like left was hot, right was cold, down was warm. And it's all hand gestures. They have one that's coming for the for your bathtub.
That makes sense, because I can't reach the damn thing when I'm laying down in it when it's full of water. You gotta get up. <You're> all- you know, like, come on, do the damn thing. The temperature's going down.
This is cool because you could actually set it, and it says the perfect fill. You could set it to like how many gallons, I guess.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's got to be a compatible tub.
Well, most tubs are rated by a certain, like a standard size.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's definitely, I don't know. Smart tech is going in a really, I think it's in a really positive direction. I think they're trying to be smarter about stuff. They're trying to look at our health. They're trying to look at our lifestyle. They're trying to make our lives a little bit easier. I know we're going straight to the Jetsons right now with everything being all automated and stuff. I think we like, because we're so busy in what we do, I think we like some of this automation stuff. I know you and me both are not the average person because our lives are very, very busy and we're constantly on the go. But even other people who are not, oh, there you go. Even other people that are not like content creators, or they're not, I don't even know what to say. Like, you know, they're not doing what we do, like our jobs, but they might have kids, or even some people that don't have kids, they have animals, puppies, cats, dogs, whatever, birds. I think everybody has their own little niche of like, oh, I'm so busy, you know, with whatever. And whatever, I think you can make your life easier at a cheaper cost. I think it's cool that they're coming up with more and more stuff, especially with the home tech industry is booming right now. You know, you got your smart doors that are now starting to come out. We've always had touchless, well, not always, but for a while now, we've had touchless faucets and stuff. So now that's cool that you can do hand gestures to control temperatures or like the amount of how it, the amount of ounces, you know, fluid ounces.
For sure.
You know, we have things for your home heater, air conditioner, door locks, all that stuff. I don't know. What do you think?
We need, there's always so much that's going on in everyone's mind that we're always forgetting to do certain things. And the automation of our lives is just the evolution of us being able to handle our day-to-day tasks. Like, you know, the times of setting a certain temperature in the morning of the house and setting a different temperature at night, those are gone essentially because they're all automated. You know what I mean? Like, you know, reminding yourself to do certain things around the house at certain times, it's all being automated now. You can set even your fridge to create a grocery list for you. So it's definitely a very interesting time that we're going into, and it's all in hopes that we can find more time for each other again, I think, or for ourselves. I would hope so. I would hope so because, you know, if we look 50, 60 years ago, it was usually just one person that was working in the house and then everyone else was home doing stuff around the house. You know what I mean? Now we're trying to find more time to do things with our electronics and using other electronics to give us more time to do things with our other electronics.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, I think it's only going to get better or worse, depending on which side of the fence you're on about it. It's only going to get better.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's some cool stuff coming. CES, I think this year, is as much as there was like a lot of cancellations and a lot of uncertainty. I still think it was successful because there's a lot of cool things that came out. You know, like look at Sony, like for example, Sony announcing several things like with their PlayStation. It's not even meant, like you can do gaming. Obviously, you have all these companies that are doing gaming hardwares and stuff. But for PlayStation or Sony to say, hey, the PSVR is coming. And they, you know, they don't even go to E3 anymore to do it. They're just like, yeah, we'll just have our own thing. I think it's just cool how everybody is doing stuff like this. We're just like, hey, like there's more stuff coming. Don't worry. The world is still moving forward. And yeah, just stay tuned. Leave us a comment below. Leave us a review. What is some of the coolest tech that you saw or read or heard of from CES? Or maybe not even from CES. You're just like, I don't know where I heard this from, but I think this is pretty cool. Put it down in the comment section or leave us a review. Let us know what it is. Be really cool to hear from you guys. We always find some great stuff. We're always like, what the hell is this? So let us know. We always appreciate you guys for coming, for listening to us, for putting up with our BS. And most of the time, it's a lot of BS. But yeah, appreciate you guys. Next Level, anything you got before we get the hell out of here?
Just to add to that quickly, if there's something that you haven't seen yet and you'd like to see, let us know. Because it's always cool when we think outside the box and, you know, we outthink the release of tech or engineering or whatever it is. So let us know what you're looking forward to finally see some innovation to. If it's your bathroom, your kitchen, your entertainment room, maybe even your garage, because I think the garage is one of the main rooms that a lot of people overlook because it's outside, right? Well, some people it's outside, some people it's just through a door, whatever it is. So anyways, while you're down there, Make sure to check out the description down below for all the links for everywhere that Beyond the Streams is. If you're listening to us on the audio side, make sure that you leave us a review so other people like yourself can find the content that you enjoy and be a part of the community as well. If you're looking to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you check us out on YouTube between 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Beyond the Streams YouTube channel, where we hold our live streams every week and you can be a part of the conversation. Make sure that you have all the notifications turned on and you're subscribed as many places as possible, because you never know where the next conversation is going to go, who's going to be there, who we're going to have on the show, what company, what friend, maybe even a foe, who knows? So make sure that you have those notifications on, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace.